So to me, they're just guessing, but they guess good, and she did what. So thank you. And thank you, Charlotte, as well. I invite you to turn your Bibles to John chapter 17. We are going through a verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of John, and we have come to John chapter 17. And I'm going to read the first six verses. John 17, and beginning at verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this life is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless now as we look at your word together. Speak to our hearts. Help me as I preach. Help us all as we all listen, and to go from this place with a greater desire to obey you and honor you and love you and worship you than we've ever experienced before. We just commit the rest of this morning to you, this brief time that we have together. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we come to this amazing prayer of John 17. This is what some people call Jesus' high priestly prayer, because he is praying as though he were a high priest, and indeed he is our great high priest. We might also call it the real Lord's Prayer. We know the Lord's Prayer, our Father which art in heaven, but this is actually the Lord's Prayer in that it is a prayer that he prayed. It's a most magnificent and majestic prayer. It's a prayer that's prayed by the Son of God to the Father above. And in this prayer, we're ushered into the very throne of God, into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God on his throne. And I don't know that there is any other chapter in the Bible that could compare with John 17. We see the triune God here, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as they commune with one another. And Jesus' prayer includes touches on that which is before time began into the eternal future. And it naturally divides into three sections, this passage, where his focus is on the Father, then on the disciples, and then on us as future believers. In verses 1 through 5, we see that Jesus communes with his Father. In verses 6 through 19, we see Jesus praying or interceding for the disciples. And I think I have this outline in the bulletin there on the second page. And then number 3, Jesus prays for the church or future believers, verses 20 to 26. Again, chapter 17, verse 6, we read, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 7, now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them thy words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And know surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Well, in verse 1 through 5, we see Jesus communing with his Father, and he prays for himself, in particular, for his glorification. And that glorification is for the benefit of all those that the Father has given him. Verse 2. And now he turns from his own glorification to pray for his disciples. He prays for others. He came for others. He ministered to others. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. To give his life for many. Many people for whom Jesus gave his life. Well, we see here letter A in our little outline. Well, point number two is Jesus intercedes for his disciples. And then letter A, Jesus manifested the Father's name. Jesus manifested or revealed the Father's name. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. These for whom Jesus prays were the Father's. They belonged to the Father, and the Father gave them to the Son. More specifically, he gave them out of the world, and they have kept thy word. These were those to whom he had manifested the Father's name. And the phrase connects back to verse 4, indicating that part of Christ's earthly mission was to make known the Father's name to the disciples. And he manifested his name. He made it known. And it's accomplished. It's done. And he manifested his name, that name which represents all that he is, his character, his nature, his attributes. Psalm 9, verse 10 says, and they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. And these men for whom Jesus prays are as men who you gave me out of the world. You see, believers are a gift from the Father to the Son. Here they are. I'm giving them to you, he says to the Son. If I'm a believer, if you're a believer, we've been given. We have been given to someone. And I can't think of anyone to whom I'd rather be given than to Jesus Christ, my Savior. There's no other to whom I would want to be given. Yes, I believed on him. I called on his name back in December 4th, 1972, I believe it was. I believed. I called on his name at that point. I received him as my Savior. But that would have been a big waste of time and to no avail, I believe, if I had not been given by the Father to the Son. I was given to the Father, or to the Son by the Father. And because I've been given, I'm secure, you see. I'm secure. I'm saved. Past tense and future tense and all tenses, past, present, and future is our salvation. So I'm secure. I'm saved. I'm sealed. I'm kept. And because of that, I will never. You understand that word? I will never be lost. I will never be lost. That is just astounding when you think about it. He gave his Son for me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, God gives and gives and gives and gives, and I have nothing from God but what has been given or will be given. The wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23 says, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift for me simply to receive. Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign by one life, Jesus Christ. We've been given the gift of righteousness. Therefore, we will reign by one, Jesus Christ. He said in John 6:37, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Today we might say, no way, Jose. Well, no way we're going to be cast out. I will in no wise be cast out because the Father gives me to the Son. Given, given, given. I've been given to the Son by the Father. God the Father took me. Can you imagine that? He took me, a poor spiritual leper full of open sores, oozing with sin and without. That was me. And by the way, that was you before you were saved. You were just full of sin inside and out. And God gave me to the Son in love and mercy. He gave me to the Son who gives eternal life. Look at John 6. You should be in John. If you're in John, turn to John 6 and verse 35. John 6, 35, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. Verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. So I got to come to him, I'll never hunger. And if I'm given, then I will come. And then verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father draw him. Verse 65 of John 6, no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. So he that cometh to me shall never hunger. All the Father gives me shall come. No man can come except the Father draw him. And no man can come except it were given unto him. But the bottom line is they must come. You must come. If you don't know Jesus Christ your Savior, what are you waiting around for? Why are you sitting on your hands? You know, you need to put your boots on and trust Christ. It's time to trust him. You need to come. But people do not come to Christ just because it seems like a good idea. No, there needs to be a work of God in their souls. Chapter 16, verse 8. And they cannot come. It's impossible for them to come unless the Father gives them. He is the author of my salvation. He makes them willing in a way that it is of their own volition. He makes them willing. He makes them willing in a way that it is of their own will to come. And yet God has to make us willing. A man comes, but at the same time he is drawn. So I must take that step and come. But all the while, God is drawing me. And to not come then means I am resisting him. I am putting my hands up saying no, no. And I was there one day. I said no, but God in his grace was patient with me. We see God's sovereignty in salvation. He will in no wise cast out. He rejects no one who comes because salvation is of the Lord. Jonah 2, verse 9. No man can come to me except the Father with that which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. Nobody can cast you out. Nobody can reject you. Nobody can detach you from the Lord. The devil can't cast you out. Jesus won't ever cast you out. And you yourself don't have the power to cast yourself out, because you never had the power to get yourself into God's care. So why do you think you can lose your salvation when it wasn't you that saved yourself? God saved you. And when God saves, that is done. It's finished. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. In manifesting his name, the Lord Jesus is manifesting God himself. God himself, the high and lofty one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, Isaiah 57, 15. The creator of the ends of the earth, Isaiah 40, 18. The holy one of Israel, Isaiah 43, 14. The God of hope, Romans 15, 13. The God of peace, Hebrews 13, 20. You see, the name of God reveals who he is, reveals his person. And in that name, we learn who he is. Christ revealed the essential nature of God. In Exodus 3, you can turn there if you like, but I'm going to go ahead and start reading here. Exodus 3 and verse 13. And Moses said, Exodus 3:13, and Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all. I am that I am, and you have the privilege and blessing of knowing him personally. The self-existing, all-sufficient God is your God. What a wonderful name. And to be given to that name, to that one whose name is holy, who inhabits eternity, who is a God of hope, the God of peace. And Jesus Christ is the manifestation of the Father's name. He has declared him, John 1:14. The Son declared, made the Father known when he came into this world, born of a virgin, and then went to the cross. He made God known. Christ manifested the power of God, the holiness of God, the faithfulness of God, the love of God, all the attributes of God we see in the Son. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And none of that is apart from Jesus Christ. If God manifests himself to us in Christ, then every blessing that eternity can supply is sure to follow. Every blessing. You and I are now and will forever enjoy every single blessing that eternity can supply because God has revealed himself in his Son. He manifested the name of the Father to these men. He made known his name to the disciples. And they were to go out and to make his name known. Do you know that name? That lovely name we call Jesus. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. His name involves all that he is, his character, his nature, his attributes. We read in Psalm 9, verse 9 and 10, The Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken that seek thee. Isn't it wonderful to know his name? It's wonderful to know your names. I know most of your names, though I forget some of the unruh names. And you can understand, there's just a lot of unruhs around these parts of the country. So, but no, we like to call each other by our names, don't we? So we know, well, we like to call God by his name. And he goes by several names. It takes a lot of names to describe his attributes. Anyway, then he said, To the men which thou gavest me out of the world, I manifest in thy name to the men which you gave me out of the world. Given. I am given. I am given to Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:10 says, You are complete in him. You're complete in him. In Acts 13:39, by him all that believe are justified from all things. And Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Our intercessor speaks of us to God the Father as people whom no man can accuse or condemn. He is our intercessor. He is our go-between. He's our lawyer, our attorney, representing us before the throne. We're but men, sinners, who were specially chosen and beloved among the world, but taken out of the world, who were of the world and in the world, following the course of the world, taken captive by the prince of the world. We were children of wrath, condemned, enemies of God, yet loved by God. Loved by God, and that cancels out everything else that the world and the flesh and the devil would do to keep us. Loved by God and given to Christ to be saved. Colossians 1, verse 12, or verse 13 and 14. Wonderful passage. Colossians 1, 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. In whom we have redemption. Forgiveness. Delivered from the power of darkness, and not only delivered from, but translated to. Okay? I'm out of the devil's clutches and into the Father's loving hands. We were given, we were delivered, we were saved. Thine they were, and you gave them me. Thou gavest them me. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. It's not my love that I brag about, it's his love. We love him because he first loved us. God gave us to Christ that he might redeem us from all iniquity. Titus 2:14, God did it. God gave me to Christ that he might make us partakers of the divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4. God did that. God made me a partaker of the divine nature. That he might raise us up to sit together in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:6. God raised us up into the heavenlies, in the heavenly places, to a position of perfect union and communion with the Son of God. That's where Jesus sees me now, in perfect union and communion with himself before the throne of God. Ephesians 1 speaks of being in Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus and in the faithful in Christ Jesus. And this goes on in the first 6-7 verses of Ephesians 1. We're in Christ Jesus. We're chosen in him, without blame before him. He's made us accepted in the beloved, and in him. It's interesting to look in that passage and note that. I should have had you turn there, but I didn't. But anyway, he speaks of, I manifested thy name to the men which you gave me out of the world. God gave to the Son those men who would believe out of the world. Thine they were, and you gave them to me. This indicates that even before their salvation, the disciples belonged to God. Before they were ever saved, they already belonged to God. That's the sovereignty of God, the providence, the power of God. John 6:37 says, all that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So we're given to the Son. All the Father gives me shall come to me. Okay, we see God's sovereignty of salvation coupled together with man's responsibility. And we see that over and over and over again in Scripture. And they're great truths that we can never comprehend. We can't figure it out. God's sovereignty, man's responsibility go together. God's sovereignty and salvation is coupled with man's responsibility. God the Father gives us, but we must come. All that the Father gives me shall come. Okay, the Father gives, but what's my part? I got to come. You say, well, the Father's given me. And I say, well, have you come? Well, no, okay. Well, how do you know you're given if you haven't come? You got to come, then you find out you were given all along. Something like that. And the Father gives us means to come. In Acts 18, in fact, look in Acts 18, if you will, and verse 8, I believe. Acts 18 and verse 8. And Crispus, that'd be a good name. Crispus Post. How about that? And Crispus, the chief, they probably nicknamed him Chris. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. And then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, Paul, but speak and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set thee nor hurt thee. For I have much people in this city." Paul, I have a lot of people. I have many people in this city. What's he mean by that? He means people that are going to be saved. People that he's chosen. And he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God. So God already had him saved, but what's Paul doing? His part. Man's responsibility. He's teaching the word of God. Because how are they going to be saved without a preacher? And Paul knew that. So he preached and he taught. And because God had many people in that city. So we go and we share the gospel knowing that people are going to be saved. Knowing of God's sovereignty and salvation. John 17:6, "Thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." See, these people weren't just filling a pew. They were active, obedient Christians. They were already Christians, but they were characterized by their obedience to God's word. In other words, their faith was the real deal. Their faith was genuine. Their faith made a difference in how they lived. So we see in our outline, letter A, Jesus manifested the Father's name, verse 6. And letter B, they had believed in him as the Son, verses 7 and 8. They had believed in him as the Son. Now have they known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given them thy words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. The disciples believed, but didn't happen all at once. They were just now beginning to really understand why Jesus came. They were beginning to get it and understand that Jesus would go to the cross and he would go to death. He would die and he would be resurrected on the third day. It would be a few days before Christ arose, and they would begin to fully grasp the reasons Jesus had to die. They knew that Jesus came from the Father and that he alone spoke the words of eternal life, John 6:68-69. And as Jesus already stated in verse 6, they had kept his word and so had proven to be his true disciples. But the disciples didn't understand it all as they would following the resurrection. But they knew a lot. They understood a lot. And they have believed that thou didst send me. You see, they really believed that. They knew the Father had sent the Son. And John began his gospel in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, Word was with God, and the Word was God." And they believed that he indeed was the Son of God, equal in essence and eternally coexistent with the Father. John 1:1-2. The creator of all things, John 1:3. The source of eternal life, John 1:4. So John 1:1-4. And they knew that the Word was made flesh and was the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, John 1:14. You see, these men proved that their faith was the real deal after Pentecost. As they went out and they preached the gospel, they preached the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. They went everywhere preaching the gospel. And because of that, they suffered severe persecution. and martyrdom, death, because of their faith and zeal for God. But even the threat of death could not deter them. In Acts 4, if you're in Acts, turn to Acts 4 and verse 18, or you can turn there from wherever you are, unless you're in La La Land, and some of you are. Acts 4, verse 18. And they called them and they commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. And we're seeing more of that in our country, are we not? Okay, you can believe what you want to believe, just don't talk about it publicly. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you be the judge. But we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. In other words, we can't help it. You, there's no way you can stop us unless you kill us. We can't help it. So when they had further threatened them, they beat them up some more. Then they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of all the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. You see, their obedience proved, it demonstrated that they were indeed given by the Father to the Son, that they were indeed chosen of God. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So our outline, we see, first of all, Jesus manifests in the Father's name, letter A, or number one, letter A. Letter B, they had believed in him as a son. And letter C, they were given to him from the Father. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. That's a tongue twister. They are thine, thine are mine, mine are thine. And the disciples responded by believing. They believed. And they acted upon that belief. They showed the genuineness of their faith through their continued obedience. Do I show I really believe by my obedience? My obedience to the Bible, what it says, what it commands, what it teaches me. Jesus said, I pray not for the world. Now, he does love all people of the world, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But here he doesn't pray for the world. He calls on sinners to repent, and he tells us to believe the gospel, but his intercessory work as high priest is only for those who belong to him because they have been given him by the Father. You have been given. And that's wonderful. It's not depending on me. I respond. I have responsibility. But he does the saving. And I rest in that. I belong to him because I've been given by the Father. I was chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And yet there was a point in my life I had to come, as with you. We come. We come, chosen in him. We are his. We belong to him. May God help us to rejoice in that and live for him based upon that truth, that we belong to him because of his love and his grace and because he gave his son for our sins. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the word. Thank you for this time now. We can open your word and consider the truths here. There is so much here, Lord, in this passage, and we've touched on a few things, and I pray, Lord, they might be a blessing to us and a help and encouragement in the days ahead. Help us just to live for you and honor you and rejoice in the fact that we belong to you, because you are so gracious and loving and kind, and you chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. And our responsibility is to live for you and love you and honor you. So help us to do that, Lord. Bless as we close, Lord. May we respond to you and give our hearts to you in these closing moments. In Jesus' name, amen.